Alrighty then.
Yes.
Good to be back.
Been a minute.
Been all the way on the other side of the world, man. Had to get out of town for a minute. Digging your Frankenhooker socks. Those are cool.
Yeah.
You know me and my wacky socks. But it's giving me terrible tan lines at work. I had to say, Olivia was bringing that up the other day when we were at Kroger. I just wore some low...
You ever see that guy on
low-rise socks? And she was like, what the hell is wrong with your leg? I mean, it looks like I have a spray tan from here.
You ever see that guy that's got, like, a ringer socks tattooed on his legs? Like, big old high 70s-style ringer socks? Those are coming back in style, man.
It's not a good thing. Next you know, we'll have the short gym shorts and the crop shirts for men.
As long as the women do their thing.
Oh, those awesome mess shirts that we used to wear.
I was going to say, the thing, you know, you asked me how my trip was to Italy. And yes, I was there with my wife the entire time. But she and I are cool like this. I pointed out to her, it's like, do you realize how cavalier the Italian women are about actually wearing bras? Like, there's just as good a chance that they're not as they are. And it's very... free and open. Like, I dig it here. Food's great. There's a giant coliseum where they used to sacrifice people. And there's, like, unkempt boobs everywhere.
Good times.
Good times. So, I don't know. Let's get into it. It is Monday. It's the 2nd of October. So we're finally, hopefully out of the... hot season, and we're just into the very, very warm season.
I almost went to complain about the temperature of the day, then I realized it's 20 degrees less than it had been for a month, so I'm just going to be happy with the way it is.
Exactly.
At least it's cooling off at night. That was the bad thing about that heat wave, is even at night it was 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, we never got a break no matter
what. It was just absolutely, it was everywhere. I know you saw Craig posted the thing that Danzig canceled a gig because it was too hot. Did you see my comment?
Uh-uh.
I was like, he's really going to not like hell then. Like, he sings all these songs. Like, anyway, guys, we're going to bring back a something that we hadn't done in a while. On the plane, I had an opportunity to watch a couple movies. And Scott and I talked about a couple of them and realized that this was one of the more fun things that we used to do in the original Scary Dad, so we're bringing it back. And it was a feature we called Fresh Eyes. And Fresh Eyes is we take a movie that we've seen, you know, it doesn't have to be we've seen 1,000 times, but something we've seen and are familiar with, and then watch it again like it's the first time. And see if it really deserves all of its accolades, or, you know, if it's just a cult thing, or, you know, has it aged well, or whatever. And so, we're going to do a Fresh Eyes double feature today. I don't know, do you want to start with the older one or the newer one?
Either one, we can go either way.
Well, let's just start at the beginning.
Okay.
So, from 1985, we're going to talk about the movie The Stuff. And then from 1988, we're going to talk about the movie The Blob.
The remake.
Yes. So, and you may notice a little bit of a pattern there. It's kind of the amorphous, blobby thing that's coming after you for no good reason. But those are, you know, they're two classic films that we're gonna talk about. So, let me introduce Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. So... since The Blob is the better of the two films, I'm going to go to 1988. October 1988. If it was today in 1988, what would you be listening to on the radio? We're going to count down from 5. Remember the Casey Kasem thing. Coming up next. Okay, number 5 is a song. I don't know. I'm sure I've heard it, but I can't place it. It's called One Good Woman by Peter Cetera. Remember, Peter Cetera gave us the Karate Kid song.
Yes.
You know, and... he was the singer for the for Chicago for the first bit and most of their early hits and stuff. So he went solo and had a few hits as well. Don't know what he's doing now, but number four. It's a cover song. It was actually a pretty straightforward cover, and I used to remember really liking it, but Cheap Trick did a cover of Don't Be Cruel by
Elvis.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
This would be number four on the charts that day. Coming in at number three, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin. That dude is a talented individual.
Very.
That guy, if you ever heard any of his stuff that's not Don't Worry, Be Happy, which in and of itself is a pretty spectacular accomplishment, considering he did all of it.
Yeah.
Like, every sound in that entire thing is him.
Is him.
He's got a few other songs. He's an incredibly talented dude.
Just unfortunately, with that song, it just got way overplayed.
Oh, yeah.
People got so burnt out on it, it was just... It became a joke.
It became, yeah. They even had Robin Williams in the video.
Yeah, and that other guy, the other... prop comic guy. I can't remember his name, but the one that looks like he's walking down into the cellar when he's actually just shortening himself. I can't remember his damn name, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I know, he's the top hat.
He used to wear a top hat all the time and stuff. And,
yeah. All right, number two, Red Red Wine by UB40. Which, have you ever heard the original of that? That's another cover.
Yeah.
The original is a Neil Diamond song,
yeah.
And it is really sad. Like, it is the Red Red Wine is him singing his despair at a lost love, and it's like this close to suicidal. It is really a sad song, and UB40 just kind of made it all dancey, peppy. And coming in at number one, Love Bites by Def Leppard.
Love Bites.
I like the entire Hysteria album, but I have to say that of all their hits, that's one that always kind of fell a little flat with me.
Yeah.
Only because, like, I think if Love Hurts and Love Stinks didn't already exist, then Love Bites would have been great. But it just seemed too much like they were copying off their neighbor's test, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Even though it doesn't sound anything like those other songs... it just kind of... All right, so if you went to the movies this day, you wouldn't be seeing The Blob just yet. I don't think it's out. Or it was a summer movie. It's out of the theaters by now. But number 10, Young Guns.
Great fucking movie.
That is a great movie.
I was working in the movies when that came out.
That's a put-down-the-remote movie. Yep. That is absolutely... I mean, every scene in that is awesome.
Yes, it is a great movie.
And I remember that, like, kicked up a big interest in Billy the Kid,
yeah.
And, you know, westerns in general, and you had that entire cast of, and all of the deaths, like, every single death of any of the, they're technically bad guys, the outlaws, but every death is shocking. Like, you don't expect it. Like, they really filmed it very well to where you didn't really know what was going to happen until it happened. It was really good movie.
Now I'm trying to find I sent it to Andy the other day and I forgot to send it to you. Apparently in Young Guns Young Guns 1 and Young Guns 2, two actors made cameos in this movies that you'd never realize it, and one of them is Tom Cruise is on set of Young Guns. And he was there visiting somebody, and he wanted to go ahead... Here we go. I just found a little article thing.
He wanted to be in it?
He wanted to be in it. So, you know the end when they throw the box out?
Mm-hmm.
And Billy jumps out of the luggage and just starts shooting people? The first person he goes is Tom Cruise.
Oh, nice.
The only thing, he wanted to be so made up that nobody would recognize him. But he wanted to be killed on film because he had never been killed in a movie before.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, huh? And the other one was from Young Guns 2. I'm trying to remember who it was, but in Young Guns 2, the scene where, I'll figure out who it was, but the scene where they're coming out of the pit, whenever all the prisoners start jumping out of the pit, one of the actors in there was another guy that happened to be on set that day and said, hey, I want to be in the movie too. So they threw him in the pit, and I'll figure out who it is. I'll try to remember who it is, but yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. Tom Cruise was in Young Guns, the first Young Guns, and he was killed by Billy the Kid.
That's awesome.
It's a pretty awesome story, man.
Hell yeah. Coming in at number 9, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? We watched this with the kids just recently, and they were not anywhere near as impressed as they probably should have been by how...
They're jaded with animation now. That's the thing.
I remember when that came out. That was cutting edge.
I mean, I've showed my kids Clash of the Titans that we were just enamored by when we were young, and they thought it was the most ridiculous shit they had ever seen.
I know, mine too. And I'm
but
like, dude,
they're just jaded because of what they have now.
But yeah, I mean, we watched Roger Rabbit again recently. And, you know, hey, yeah, they were doing that kind of stuff in Mary Poppins back in the day, you know, so I can see. But, man, some of those scenes with Christopher Lloyd, you know, whenever his face is melting.
Yeah.
And, you know, the
some creepy shit.
Well, just the way that they manifested the animation onto the live action with certain things. I mean, it's similar to CGI, but they were doing old school animation, so... Coming in at number 8.
Oh, just so you know, the one in part 2 was John Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's, I finally remembered. It was John Bon Jovi that was in the pit and jumped out.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I was going to say, speaking of Tom Cruise, coming in at number 8, you would have seen Cocktail.
That movie annoyed me because...
It wrecked the shit out of bartending.
My ex-roommate was a bartender. And he wanted to learn how to spin bottles so bad because of that fucking movie. And it annoyed me. Because he was sitting there with his bottles wrapped in duct tape, practicing in the living room and shit, trying to reenact every scene in Cocktail.
I've seen a couple. Like, I've been in a lot of bars, and I've been in a lot of places all over the country and even all over the world. And I've seen one or two people successfully spin a bottle, kind of as a joke as they did it. But never as a performance. I was like, man, I would be getting pissed.
Just give me my drink, dude.
Yeah, I don't want to watch you dance. Just hand it over, you know? Hire a girl to, like, dance on the stage or something. You know? We know how this works. All right, number 7, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Nice.
So, number 6, I've never heard of. It's called Crossing Delancey.
The name is familiar, but
probably
I don't know what it is.
Some chick flick.
Yeah.
Number 5, Die Hard.
Classic.
Realizing that Die Hard came out in July, and it's October, and it's still number 5. That's
pretty impressive.
That's awesome. In fact, I remember when I was a kid, because we'd go to Corpus across the bridge from Portland, and the movie theater was like right off the highway. And Die Hard was on the marquee for so long that I thought the theater might have closed down. Because it was just always Die Hard. And I thought, oh, okay, they closed it down and just left the marquee up. Because Die Hard was always at the top of the thing. Like, we're showing Die Hard. All right. Number 4, a movie called Dead Ringers, which I also don't remember. Fish Called Wanda, Heartbreak Hotel, and Gorillas in the Mist. So, yeah, some good stuff coming out that in 1988. We'll probably watch Young Guns again. So, alrighty then, let's take a break. We'll come back with the new.
Spooky's here now. Great new day sensation. Light and free now. Get you elevation. Enough is never enough. Enough is never enough of the stuff.
The stuff. The taste that makes you hungry for more. Taste that delivers.
We interrupt this presentation with the following urgent message.
Tonight, America is in grave danger. We are under alien attack by a popular dessert known as the stuff.
Here, Jason, take some.
No, don't eat that.
There is something alive in there.
Tasty.
There's something alive in yogurt. It's called benign bacteria.
If the stuff is in your house, do not eat it. If you have it on your shelves, do not sell it. If you distribute this material, close your doors, make no more sales.
Enough is never enough.
And here we go. Mr. Gomez, if you would.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, don't have a whole lot this week, but I got some interesting stories. And this one, I don't know if you saw the news out of Lago, Florida. Not Mar-a-Lago, Florida, but in Lago, Florida. Photos were released recently of this 14-foot alligator that decided to take a stroll through a neighborhood with human remains hanging out of its mouth. Did you read about that?
I did.
It's crazy shit. First responders raced to a park in Largo, which is right outside of Tampa, to rescue the remains and investigate what happened. Demarcus Bullard said he was looking for fish in a neighborhood lake while waiting for a job interview when he spotted the gator. He noticed that it had a body in its mouth and an entire lower torso. So basically the legs were sticking out of this alligator's mouth as it was moving around. Once I realized that, I ran straight to the fire department and got them. They confirmed there was a body. So yeah, this alligator was just roaming around out the water with a body. I never got news as far as who it was. The alligator was, of course, euthanized in a humane manner. Unclear if the person died from a gator attack or if the beast got a hold of a body after the person died, whether it was dumped or somebody might have drowned or whatever happened. But not a whole lot of details, but a seriously horrific scene out of Lago for.
I was reading about that when I was in Rome. I was like, man, that's rough.
Okay, British Airways. You recently flew over to Italy. Apparently, this British Airways pilot decided while on a layover in South Africa, decided to have this insane coke-fueled orgy and texted the stewardesses about it the morning of, and then immediately went straight to the plane to try to fly it. And got busted. And apparently the woman that he texted is the funniest shit. Mike Beaton reportedly spilled the beans to a flight attendant friend of his a few weeks ago after a wild night in the town of Johannesburg while they were grounded for a brief period. In texts that were obtained by The Sun, Beaton reportedly bragged about a hot hookup he experienced with a Welsh woman, which was full of cocaine, booze, and sex. He wrote, "I've lost my shirt somewhere, and one of the local lads produced a plate full of lines of coke." So then there's a debate about whose chest is best to do a pump off. I don't know why he decided that would be something appropriate to send to the flight attendant, but the flight attendant wasn't particularly happy about it.
Was not impressed?
No, was not impressed.
She didn't get invited.
And reported him to his the hierarchy within British Airways, and he was... they shipped his ass back to the UK as a standard passenger on the flight and got another pilot to go ahead and fly the plane. So, yeah, the guy got fired. But, yeah, the thing about it is, this dude just got caught. Now, I can remember back in the day, because working for Halliburton, I had to stay in a lot of hotels. And some of the hotels that we'd stay in different cities, they were also used. Like, we used to, when I was living in Louisiana and we trained out here, we stayed at this Holiday Inn by Intercontinental Airport, which was also used by Continental Airlines. Those pilots and stewardesses party hard.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine the flight from here to, it's from here to Dallas and then Dallas to Rome. It was a 10-hour flight, but it's like an hour before you get off the ground and an hour on the ground, you know what I mean? So it's a 12-hour thing. So you just lock in and you are stressed out for like 12 straight hours and you got like 500 people's lives in your hands. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna, like, when you're off, you're gonna decompress.
Yes, you have to. You have to. So you stay in a hotel, there's a bar downstairs or whatever, you know, it's
okay.
Oops.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but
okay, so this headline is a really, really long headline, but I saw this headline and it definitely grabbed my attention. So here we go. Ohio hospital propped dead woman up in bed to fool family into thinking she was alive. 2 hours after surgeon Dr. Jared Betts botched a routine procedure, according to a lawsuit followed by the dead patient's family. That's some scandalous shit.
Dude. That is. Did they put her in a, like, make her like a hat and glasses? Like,
making it Bernie's? Okay, so family members first shared the allegations of misconduct in mid-August after a Facebook account shared details of the woman's death. Tracy Clark McManus, who identified the unidentified woman as her aunt, shared the post accusing Dr. Betts of cutting into Trimble's artery during a procedure. One of the woman's family members had seemingly reached out to the Facebook account, which is dedicated to sharing issues with the Dena Health System, to share that she had died after a doctor nicked the wrong artery. So they started putting two and two together. The story was picked up by a local newspaper, which reported having seen the woman's own medical records. In their story, the outlet stated the family noticed a two-hour discrepancy between Trimble's time of death on her death certificate and the hospital's records. And that's when they started realizing, hey, she was actually dead 2 hours before the hospital was telling us that she was dead. The Seattle Valley Guardian did not publicly name the woman who had died during the surgery, but DailyMail.com was able to independently confirm her identity. Online publication reported that her family was brought in around 3:05 p.m. to see her while she was propped up to look fake alive. They claimed that they were urged to make an immediate decision to remove her from life support. So they made it look like she was alive. I don't know if they had like something set up on a monitor to where it was beeping, but said, hey, she needs to be removed from life support. We need your permission to do it now. According to the family, however, her medical record showed her time of death as 1 p.m., placing her death during the hours of her second surgery. Fucking scandalous, dude. Is that shit, dude? Could you imagine the money?
They don't want to get sued for malpractice.
Could you imagine the money that's going to come out of this fucking lawsuit?
No shit. Wow.
Initial surgery had been performed by Dr. Betts, but after she wouldn't stop bleeding while in the intensive care unit, she was taken back into surgery. That is just insane, dude. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Leads off. When working in the field of illegal drug sales, it's never a good idea to contact police to complain that a customer robbed you. And what's bad about this story is the amount that was taken, dude really should have just took it as a loss. Okay? Cops say that Eric Thomas, 33 years old, of course from Florida, called police in reference to a theft in, once again, Largo. We're back to Largo, yes. Upon being contacted by officers, Thomas stated he was selling marijuana and someone stole $10 from him while attempting to sell it. A dime bag. The dude called the cops behind a dime, dude. While reporting the theft, Thomas had 11 bags of pot in his hands. The cops are there. His hands are full of dime bags. And he says, hey, this dude stole $10 from me. So, of course, it still remains illegal to possess marijuana with intent to sell in Florida. He made spontaneous statements about being robbed while attempting to sell the marijuana. In order that Thomas was holding more than 40 grams of pot when he was collared. During a post-arrest search of Thomas, cops found two baggies containing cocaine in his wallet as well. It's not a good time to call the cops when you're in the
middle. No. You don't make good decisions often when you're...
He was charged with a pair of drug felonies and booked into county jail, locked up in lieu of $7,000 bond. Over the past year, he's been convicted of marijuana, cocaine, battery counts. He has a pending case of possessing 7 Ziploc bags of marijuana. The dude is just not this brightest...
So he doesn't sound very smart.
No. So that is our new business this week.
Rock and roll it. Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back with fresh eyes.
If it had a mind, you could reason with it. If it had a body, you could shoot it. If it had a heart, you could kill it. Now, man is no longer the supreme being on this planet.
The organism is growing at a geometric rate. By all accounts, it's at least 1,000 times its original mass.
Nobody believes me about what happened tonight.
What did happen?
You were there. You saw.
Plasmid life form that hunts its prey. Predator.
I want that organism alive.
I think you ticked it off.
No shape.
All right. So we had talked about doing both of these movies a while back, mostly because I think we just wanted to watch them and chat about them, and why not? But the first one, which is The Stuff from 1985. You texted me the other day because I posted something on Facebook, and so we'll get into that, because after watching, I just watched The Stuff about an hour ago, so it's like very, very fresh.
Yes, it is.
Very, very fresh eyes. But so what happened was this. So everybody knows about, you know, when you go to the store and they've got all of the, you know, whether it's organic or GMO free or, you know, whatever, herbicides and pesticides and all of the things. So this is 100% absolutely true. No hint of a lie. It works like this. When I was in my 20s, I started getting like depression and a strange rash. And I go to the doctor and I'm like, "Hey, I'm feeling kind of cloudy and I'm itchy all the time." And luckily the doctor was like, "Hey, that sounds like something you're eating is not good for you." So I did a process of elimination. I figured out that milk, like I was eating cereal a lot, but milk, I'm not lactose intolerant, although I am now because I don't drink milk. But if I drink milk, within a couple hours, I get real itchy, really kind of warm, like not feeling well. And then if I continue to do so, then I will get like a depression feeling. Like, I'll just feel down and low and melancholy. And it's... But when I don't drink milk, that's not part of my constitution. So I just stopped drinking milk in my 20s. I eat some cheese. I don't drink... No ice cream. Very little butter. Like, most dairy. I just can't eat it. When I was in my 30s, I started getting really bad heartburn. A lot. Like, all the time. Like dying from heartburn, and I thought it was from drinking beer. And I mean, I drink a lot of beer, so that's the first culprit. That's the first thing that came to mind, right? As it turned out, it wasn't beer; it was breads and pastas. So anytime I eat like pizza or something, I will get a severe heartburn. And if I eat a sandwich, so I eat a lot of like bread-free sandwiches and things like that. And then, to top it all off, Italian food in general. If we go to an Italian restaurant, because they use a lot of butters and creams and oils and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's all bread-based, like pizzas and pastas.
That's a starch. Heavy starch.
I will die. Like, I will just feel bad for the whole rest of the night and the next day. So going to Italy for 10 days was not something I was real keen on. I was like, "Yay, I want to see the Colosseum, but I also don't think I can survive 10 days without eating something."
Yeah.
So I got over there, I took all the medicines with me, and I was like, "Okay, when in Rome, right? You do as the Romans do. I don't have a choice. I have to eat something." So prepared myself for the inevitable and just started sampling stuff. And at the end of 10 days, I had eaten pretty much everything that Italy had to offer. I ate all their pastas, all of their creamy sauces, ice creams, gelatos, lattes in my coffees, because they do that over there. Like, and I had zero reaction to any of it. I didn't feel itchy. I didn't feel heartburned. I didn't get gassy. I didn't get tired or sluggish. Like, 100% completely different reaction than I would have if I had eaten stuff here. And I already knew that, you know, with our insecticides and pesticides and all this stuff that we have in our food, that a lot of it's not, it's banned in certain EU countries and stuff. So I looked into Italy, and it's like, oh yeah, they ban all that stuff. They didn't ever want their, they figure food is their legacy. So they don't want any of that stuff in their food. So they banned it really early on, like back in the 90s. So they don't have all the pesticides and the GMOs and all the same crap that we have here. Because I'm sitting there going like, okay, so even though I developed lactose intolerance from not drinking milk, I would still be intolerant of the lactose over there, even if it didn't have the other stuff, right? Nope. Perfectly clean. Felt awesome. Like, lost weight. Felt great the whole time. So, got back, and now Meg and I are on a very, like, fact-finding mission. Like, what can we eat and what can't we? Because obviously we've been getting poisoned for a while, right? So then, pop in the movie The Stuff. And not something that I noticed, like, you know, way back in the day, because it's the underlying thing, but it is also kind of the main focus. It's the reason why the one main good guy is doing good guy stuff. It's because it's like the big old conspiracy about, like, well, who approved it? What's in it?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's perfectly safe. It's
the biggest thing is what's in it.
What's in it? Well, it's FDA approved, so it's obviously all right. He's like, well, all the FDA people are either gone or disappeared. He's like, oh, that's too bad. Like the corporate guys are like, oh, that's tragic, you know, whatever. Mm. But the whole thing about The Stuff is there's this stuff that's really, really bad for you, but it's advertised as the cool new thing, and everybody's addicted to it. And it kills you.
Right.
So
it is fucking everywhere.
Yeah, it's in everything.
Right. What's the trip is like, okay, so there's the one scene in the grocery store where the little boy goes and just goes on a rampage destroying. It's literally everywhere in the store. It's in the cooler, it's on the shelves, it's in the freezer. It's, what the hell is going on with this stuff? How can anybody think that this is normal? What tripped me up about the stuff is, it reminds me, what it makes me think of is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes with a much bigger budget. It is a Larry Cohen film, of course, who has done, he's been in blaxploitation and horror movies forever. He was. And yeah, the movie is just, it's wild. It really makes you think, and it's just, some of the shit in the movie is just hilarious. The consortium of ice cream guys that hires a corporate saboteur to try to steal the corporate secrets of the stuff and figure out what it is. It's the movie's fucking crazy, man.
Obviously, you know, you have the story that needs to be told. What's interesting is that they didn't get a sample of it and try to figure out what's in it themselves.
Right.
You know, because...
Well, they said they did, and they couldn't. Yeah, they couldn't. So when they're on the boat, yeah, they couldn't. They couldn't figure out what the hell it was.
Yeah. So yeah, the dude's in there trying to steal secrets. But yeah, this thing is like, everybody just kind of goes with the fact that since it's FDA approved, then it's okay.
Yeah.
And but it's that circular chicken egg reasoning. Well, what is it? Well, why does it matter? It's safe and effective. But what is it? It's approved. It's safe and effective. Follow the science. It's good. You know, so much of that that's like much more relevant in today's world, especially with so much stuff. So like when I posted that thing on Facebook about the food, and then somebody was like, oh, you know, we've been genetically modifying plants forever, and, you know, GMO is just a different kind of crossbreeding and stuff. And it's, you know, it's all safe. It's perfectly safe. And the fact is, though, that is a lie. That's a truth wrapped up in a lie. Because here's the thing. The genetically modified plants that we're talking about, we're not talking about, you know, taking preferable genes from this certain strain of strawberries and growing bigger strawberries.
Yeah.
That has its maybe its own ethical concerns. But here's the thing. Glyphosate, which is Roundup, it's a poison. It is designed to kill, and it kills everything that it touches.
Yeah, weeds are grass. Everything.
That's so, what it does, yeah. And that's what it's for. And so what they did was they developed this corn that survives the glyphosate. So you can pour it on the corn, and it won't kill the corn, but it kills everything else. And you go, safe and effective. Okay, well, here's the thing. If you took that corn, that seed corn, and you put it in healthy soil without the poison in it, and it grows up and spits out an ear of corn, you can eat that corn, and sure, it's perfectly fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with the corn itself. The problem is, just like whenever you were a kid and you had that celery experiment in your school, and you put the red dye, and you put the celery, and you watch the celery soak up the red dye into the middle of the plant, you can't wash that off. And what it's
in it.
What it has soaked up is the poison that is designed to kill things, and you're a thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're eating it, you realize that it's designed to kill things. So it's not the plant, per se, that's the problem. It's the chemicals that it's bred to survive.
It's not just that either. Whenever you take, I'll use the corn example. Take the corn example to where it's resilient to Roundup. Your body is not going to process it the same way. Mm-hmm. It's going to have more trouble with it. And that's where you can have issues. It's like with Crohn's. One of my problems with Crohn's is that my body doesn't process stuff properly. So I'll get malnourished and I'll lose bone density and shit because stuff, I already have a hard time processing foods. If something is even more resilient, I'll have even harder. I will get no nutrition at all from anything.
Because it won't start breaking down.
Yeah, because it won't break down in time. It'll just go straight through me, which is part of the issue. And you got to think, the same thing is happening. We make strawberries that can stay on the shelf for, you know, an extra month. How is our body being able to process that and break it down?
Exactly.
If it's so much more resilient.
So I think the stuff actually has a much more relevant social message probably than it did in 1985, because a lot of that stuff didn't even exist. There's still the conspiracies. I thought it was fun, but Paul Sorvino's in there.
It's a blast, man. Danny Aiello.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, just the star power in this Beam movie.
Charlie O'Garrett, you know, from Saturday Night Live, uh-huh. who's amazing in his role. He has one of the best deaths in a damn movie. The movie is great, man. It's a fun movie. It has a great pace.
And as bad as it sounds, I still want to see what it tastes like. I still want to try the stuff, you know? Like, I want
it's got to be good.
You know it has to be good. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for the stuff.
The stuff is a great movie.
The stuff is a lot of fun.
I revisited it whenever Lorraine Landon came down, because she was very good friends with Larry Cohen. Mm. And she had some Larry Cohen autographed stuff containers. And I was like, I haven't seen that movie in forever. Let me go ahead and give it a rewatch. It's a fun fucking movie. And like I said, the pacing is great to where you don't get bored. That's a movie you won't get bored with.
Uh-huh.
You'll have fun the whole time. Special effects kind of cheesy. You know, it's got...
But what are you going to do with killer ice cream?
But it's a fun movie. That's just it.
It's like killer yogurt or something. It's not even really ice cream. It's more like melted marshmallows. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's like a yogurt.
Well, making that menacing is obviously difficult. And it's pure white.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like it's the blob where it's kind of like the pink and red. It's right. But no, the stuff holds up. The stuff's...
And I love the name Mo Rutherford. For some reason, I think that is one of the coolest character names I've ever heard. Especially, you know, he has that accent.
Everybody wants Mo.
I'm Mo Rutherford.
Everybody wants Mo. He's like, you're not as dumb as you look. He's like, most people are not as dumb as I look.
Chocolate Chip Charlie with his kung fu moves and everything. It's just a really, really fun movie, man. Watch the stuff if you haven't seen it. Trust me.
Yeah, putting fresh eyes on it. I actually, because when I first saw it when I was a kid, it's not a particularly scary movie, and I don't remember it. I don't remember knowing that it was supposed to be a comedy, like a horror comedy sort of thing.
In the vein of RoboCop.
So because it wasn't scary, I always thought, like, again, I always just still wanted to taste the stuff. But I kind of thought it was sort of cheesy. I mean, it is still cheesy. I mean, it's a low budget.
It's a well made movie.
It's a low budget film. It's somewhat cheesy, just as far as just like how quickly it just gets taken away. Like the story just, dude standing there in the snow and finds a gurgling pile of white stuff and just decides to eat it. It could be seagull shit. He's just like, well,
that's pretty good.
Let's package this up and sell it, you know?
And like the next scene, it's a national phenomenon.
Yeah. So, I mean, but...
And they're all rich.
But, you know, it is still, it's cool. It's a good movie. And you should watch it.
Definitely.
Now, I hadn't seen this one in a long time.
Well, just so you know, The Blob came out when I was in high school, right? And it was filmed, like I told you earlier, literally 15 minutes from my hometown. So it was a huge deal back then. That was the last time I had seen it.
Yeah.
And I honestly think a lot of it has to do with the fact that just I'm a different type of movie watcher now than I used to be. The movie's fucking awesome.
It really is. What I was going to say is because me and my friends used to just rent all the horror movies. Like, so all of the VHS tapes that you've seen the back of and you're, you know, curious about, you know. But this was all, like, in the early 90s. So even then, that's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, we've discussed that multiple times. And I remember when The Blob came out, I don't remember. It wasn't like, it was like maybe VH1 something, but they used to show extended trailers, like with scenes from a movie, maybe talk about the actors would talk about it and stuff. And I remember there was one specific scene where the dude gets pulled down the drain in the kitchen.
Yes. Yeah. And he's like a diner. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like poking at it and he's like, what is that? And then it gets him and starts pulling him down and had that. And I remember being like, oh man, this thing looks, you know, it's The Blob. Like, but I was like, oh damn, that's badass. And so me and my friends rented it and, you know, but that was the last time I saw it. It was like in the early 90s and it came out in 1988. So it was still pretty new then.
Well, what was funny is, you know, okay, so it came out because it was filmed in Abbeville. It was a big deal. I think there were free screenings and shit because it was a local made movie. And watching it this most recent time, I recognized more shit. So, you know, before I saw it, but I was in high school. You know, now there's literally so many places I was like, I've been in there, I've eaten there. It was crazy, man. And just so you know, the reason Abbeville was chosen is because their downtown area had that one road that went directly to the courthouse. And that's where that last scene is filmed. Where at the end of the street is this huge white plantation-looking building. That's the actual courthouse in Abbeville, Louisiana. And it was funny. Okay, so the town, the fictional name of the town is Arborville.
Mm-hmm.
Abbeville, Arborville. Because Abbeville is A-B-B-E. Arborville is A-R-B-O-R. But like they're at the hospital, and they're pulling back. And it actually, the sign says Abbeville Medical Center. And I'm like, I've been there!
That's awesome.
And whenever they're doing the scene where they're the high school football game, there's Vermillion Catholic versus Abbeville High. The actual uniforms from back then, my cousin went to a smaller high school. His high school, the football games, they used to play both of those teams. So I recognize them so well. And at that time, I dated a girl that went to Vermillion Catholic. So they actually had all these people in the stands. And it's just, it's so wild just from my perspective seeing this movie.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, that's awesome.
But then I started getting into it and just... Shout out to Nick Benson, who I consider a friend of mine. The special effects in this movie hold up really fucking well.
Well, the special effects are amazing.
And the kills are great.
I was going to say, the thing that makes it... Well, first of all, Frank Darabont. So if you know who that guy is, you may know me for such movies as, you know, The Walking Dead, The Mist... Shawshank Redemption, that's one for you, you know, and many more. The dude's just insane. The dude is great, but he has a specific style. He's a screenwriter, but even way back in 1988, if you've watched the first season of Walking Dead and you watch The Blob, you can see his signature. Like you can tell.
Yeah,
he's just got this way of doing things. up to and including Dale is in the blob.
Yeah.
He's the sheriff. But the kills are great, and what makes the kills so great is there's so much stuff that's just unexpected. Like, they introduce the boyfriend, and you're like, oh,
he's... Yeah, that's, I have that written as a note.
Like, he's like he's the good guy.
He's not supposed to die this quick.
Dude, he's the good guy. Like, even his kind of, like, scumbag buddy that's going on a date and, like, blaming the condom purchase on him and stuff. Yeah. You're like, okay, he's the goody-goody. He's going to make it through. You know, he's the hero. Him and Kevin Dillon are going to sit there and like work things out and
Ethan
work together.
Ethan Hawke's dad. Dude, tell me that Kevin Dillon and Ethan Hawke aren't doppelgangers.
I know, right? But, dude comes out of the woods with tries to chop his arm off with an axe. Like, the whole, just so much jump scare and unexpected deaths.
Okay, so you got Paul, which was the boyfriend, dies 15 minutes in. Then the sheriff fucking dies. And what pisses me off about the sheriff is you don't see him die.
No.
He just pops up in the blob when they're killing his love interest, who's another one I didn't think was going to die.
She's inside the phone booth.
That kill was fucking insane, dude. Oh, yeah, dude. She's in the phone booth trying to hold it closed with her foot. And I didn't expect her to die. The movie just was incredible, dude. I mean, so many unexpected things, except for one thing. And I love this formula that was in so many 80s movies, especially horror movies. The random drop of an item that you know you probably need to pay attention to it. And this particular one was whenever Kevin Dillon goes to the garage to get a ratchet set. The mechanic walks over to his snowblower that is full of snow and grabs a couple of beers. And you're like, that snowblower is going to come up again. Why does he have a random snowblower that has snow in it? In his garage in the back, you know, behind everything else with beers chilling in it. How many 80s movies had shit like
that? There was a lot. Well, like, the guy in Gremlins that just happened to have a snowplow.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, we need a snowplow to wreck a house because that will be cool. So let's just make a crazy old man that's afraid of gremlins and they'll steal his snowplow, you know. But the thing about the blob, which I found it, you know, they had to have been talking about it, like with the special effects team and Darabont, because the kills are like slasher quick and then slow down. So it's like, well, Bob got him. And then
it converts the body horror all of a sudden.
Then she comes around the corner and he's being slowly
all of a sudden his body horror is all this crazy
he's
shit.
He's like being stretched out and like all of this stuff. And you're like, so every kill, except for the sheriff maybe, every kill delivers twice really.
Right.
And so, and the blob is not nice. It hunts. That's another thing too, is like,
It's a killer shark.
Yeah, I mean, it strategizes, and it sneaks around, and it picks its prey. And that's another thing that I don't remember from any other version of the blob. You know, right. It's like, oh, it's just like, what? Let's poke at it. Oh, it got me. You know, it's like, but, you know, leave it alone. Don't touch that, and you'll be fine. But not in this one. It's coming after you. And, dude, when the sheriff just reveals himself, he's just kind of like floats across the phone booth.
Yes. It's like, when did he die?
When he popped up, I was like, I'm on my way.
When did he die?
Well, she called him and he's like, I'm on my way. I'm going to go check out that thing. And then he guess he didn't make it. The kid.
You know, he was in Return of the Living Dead 2 as well.
Dude. The little boy's like, he's like, I'm praying, I'll be good, I'll never go with him. He's like praying to survive, and then the blob gets him.
Oh, when he hits the movie theater, it just fucking, it's nuts. It is,
well, yeah, but the kid gets got in the sewer.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But they're both like, because they snuck off to watch the slasher movie,
right.
And then the blob comes and gets him.
Little nod to Friday the 13th, yeah. Which I thought was pretty awesome.
And then the kid's like praying, praying, literally, like, please, God, just please let me survive and I'll never do anything bad again. And the blob gets him.
He didn't give a shit, dude.
Dude.
Like, it just, the way it killed indiscriminately, like I said, everybody.
Well, if you've ever watched The Mist, you know that Darabont doesn't care about who's going to survive.
Because I kept expecting people to keep going. Like I said, the boyfriend, I thought that he was going to be there for the rest of the movie, and bam, he was gone quick.
Yeah.
Really quick.
And he's gone quick and awesome. Like, the thing is, like, the drawn-out body horror stuff.
Yeah.
And
if you've never seen, Nick also worked on Society. So you can definitely see a lot of the crossover between those two things. I mean, the special effects are so good in that one.
Yeah. I have to say, because, again, I hadn't seen it in forever, and I do remember having liked it, but, you know, how often are you going to throw on The Blob?
Right.
You know, like, it's not like a Friday where you can sit there and root for Jason, or you can kind of be afraid because it's part two and they've got some, you know. It's like, The Blob is just The Blob. But, oh, dude, I was having so much fun watching that movie.
Now, I honestly would love to find out if there's a director's cut or an uncut where we can see how the sheriff died. You know,
I have it on Blu-ray, really? So I have to go look at special features. Maybe
I'm curious to see if maybe that was just cut out, and because that just, like I said, the sheriff was on his way to the diner. I was expecting him to save the woman.
Uh huh.
And like, next thing I know, he like just floats up inside the bomb. It's like, what the fuck happened? So another funny thing, did you notice the sheriff's car was a coupe?
Uh-uh.
The police car was a two door. Where are you going to put the the prisoner? Let me lean the seat up. Go ahead and get in the back.
Well, the soldier in the sewers, Bill Moseley.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool. But I also read that the one that was like laying on the ground that was like half eaten, he was actually a Vietnam vet that had like lost his leg and part of an arm.
Uh-huh.
And he was the guy that was all melted on the ground.
Yeah.
So they like, that wasn't special effects. That was just a dude in an outfit. But
and the twist coming around where it was all just government experiments with germ warfare.
Yeah.
That got out of fucking control. Joe Seneca, of course, I mean, you probably recognize him best from Crossroads, but he's been in a ton of great movies, and mm-hmm. he's played a piece of shit before, and he does a real good job playing a piece of shit, because he looks like he'd be this sweet old man. But he was a piece of shit.
Yeah, locks him in the sewer to die.
Yeah. Just evil, man. Evil shit.
Yeah, dude, I have to say, you know, we've done... I think most of our fresh eyes are at least, you know, positive. We don't usually pan things out. But I have to say that The Blob was one that, like, I know Lost Boys is going to be good. If I haven't watched Lost Boys in a while, I can watch it again and look it for details and be like, okay, I know the thing is good. I know the autopsy scene's going to scare me, even though I've seen it a billion times, you know? Like, fresh eyes on The Thing, it's just an excuse to watch The Thing.
Right.
The Blob
was... It totally blew me away.
The Blob was like homework, and like, hey, let's check this one out.
Everything with it, the pacing's good.
And I was just like, damn, this is a good movie.
It was great.
It's so cool.
It was a really, really good movie. It's casted well. You know, it's not a perfect movie. It's not The Thing. But it's a good fucking movie. It never lost my attention.
Mm-mm.
I watched it the whole way through.
I got done, and that's when I finished watching it, and I texted you. I was like, dude, have you watched The Blob yet? And you're like, no, I haven't yet. I'm like, dude.
It really, really surprised me. Like I said, I did not remember it being that good of a movie. Maybe I just watch movies differently now. Because
mm-hmm.
I watched it when I was fucking 14. You know?
The thing is, too, like you say, you know, like there's so many movies out there. Just so many movies out there that are just, you know, and there's all the remakes and the reboots and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever else. That a lot of stuff you see it once, or I've seen it. I remember that. I've seen it. It's, you know, it's good. I've seen it, you know. But every now and then you throw something in there and you're just like, oh, man. Like, I should have been watching that more. Well, you know, like on the plane, dude, I saw Cocaine Bear. You know, you guys saw it in the theater.
God, that movie's crazy, dude.
Dude, oh well, the thing was, I feel as if that movie was everything it needed to be.
It was perfect for what it was.
It was hilarious. It was ultra-violent. The special effects were good. There was the story, which is Bear gets high on cocaine and wrecks shop.
So small at people, yeah.
I gave it, you know, personally, I'd give it like two thumbs up. I thought it was fun. It was, you know, it's not scary. If you're if you're like, oh, you know, want to compare it to like, you know, The Shining or something. No, it wasn't really scary, but it was a movie that needs to be the way that it is so that they can make other movies like that.
Yeah. Just fun, goofy, pointless movies. It was a good movie. And another one that was casted well. I never realized how good of an actor Ice Cube son was.
Mm-hmm.
He was great in that movie. The guy that does the service industry video reels, he was in it. I love seeing him in that movie. The woman that played the fucking game warden that got shot in the ass, she was fucking incredible, man. She was a...
The bear breaks in the door and she shoots that dude.
Yeah.
Everybody shows up like, this guy's been shot. What's up with this? Nobody knows what's going on. That was... I mean, it was...
The comedic relief in it. It was just a really, really good movie. It was...
I had fun. And...
And Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta. That's what I was about to say.
Ray Liotta was so
his
cool.
Last movie. Ray Liotta. Think about Ray Liotta's career. The shit he was in. The amazing movies he did. His final movie was Cocaine Bear.
And he got his guts ripped out by baby cocaine bears. Because there wasn't just one. There's three.
There's three. They were born with the habit.
Did you see the video of that dude like yelling at the bear to get out of their yard? You were like, what did they think the fence is gonna
be?
That was a different video.
Okay.
There's one where they're like, there's these people like at like this lakefront like backyard. It's like a picnic table and all this stuff.
Seen that
one. And this bear's up there and this dude's yelling at the bear, like, get out of here, bear, get out of here. And the bear's like, I don't want to get out of here. He's like, get out of here. And he's like yelling at the bear. And like the bear moves off a couple feet at a time and gets right to the gate. And the bear turns around and he's like, I don't think I want to leave. And he reaches up and he's like, swipes across the dude's side.
Shit, dude.
And the dude takes the hit and then snaps and yells at the bear. And the bear just kind of like moves onto the other side of the gate and he closes the gate. So this gate's like 3 feet high. If this bear wants to...
They're fast, dude.
Yeah, if this bear wants to get back, but it just kind of trudges off down the trail, and like the whole family's like, Mike, leave him alone. Mike, leave the bear alone. And Mike's like, get the hell out of here, bear. And then like the bear walks off, and like you can see like a little couple beads of blood start to show up on his shirt, and he lifts up, and he's got this big old gash across his side. I'm like, dude, like, it... If you're standing down and you're facing down death, then yeah, yell at the bear. But if it's just chilling in your yard, y'all just go inside.
Don't leave it be. Yeah, don't leave eventually. What was funny is I was telling Melissa the other day, you know, just growing up in New Iberia, we had bears. Bears would show up in neighborhoods all the fucking time. And she was like, seriously? I was like, yeah. I remember my sister's house. They had a bear that was stealing people's trash for months. And it would be spotted in people's backyards all the fucking time. And like clockwork, my cousin posted in Acadiana last night, there's this huge black bear roaming down somebody's street and shit. Bears don't fuck around, man. But if you just leave them be.
Yeah.
See you later.
Or they'll cash you and like sit on your ass like that when we did the episode about the sharks versus bears thing, that tripped me the hell out. That it was like a marathon and the dude just didn't show up at the finish line and they're like, let's go look for Bob. And there was a bear sitting on his corpse like fighting people for it whenever they came to find Bob. And it's like, it's just freaking running down the trail. Like, now you're just bear food.
In Louisiana, no, there's no Kodiak grizzly bears and shit, but a 300-pound black bear is still pretty fucking intimidating.
Yeah.
That's not a big-ass claw. That's a big-ass paw, dude.
I tell my kids, like, Like, if you see animals and they're little, don't mess with them. They're not trustworthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like raccoons and stuff.
Raccoons can be vicious.
Yeah, they're not nice. So don't mess with them. I think we're at the end because we need to watch some more movies. But go watch The Stuff.
Definitely watch The Blob.
Definitely watch The Blob. The Blob is awesome. I'll be watching The Blob again.
I'm going to get a physical copy of it. I don't have a physical copy of it. I thought I did, but I definitely need to get one.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, all right, man. Well, y'all have a great weekend or a great week, and we will see you next time. And keep it scary.
Later.